Hi everyone, today's parak of Rambam is the 15th chapter of Hilchos Machlos Asuros. In this parak, the Rambam deals with the concept of a mixture with something which is forbidden and something which is forbidden, when one is allowed to consume from it and when one is not. Halacha Aleph. Dabar asur shenis ar bedabar mutter, min b'she'eno mino b'nosein tam, u'mimino she'efshar la'amod al tamo yibaltu barov. If something which is forbidden to consume is mixed with something which is permitted to consume, and the two are different species, i.e. they are different types of food, so then it is permitted to eat the mixture, assuming there is no longer any detectable taste of the forbidden item. If, however, they are of the same species, again, that means they are the same type of food, to the point where, therefore, it is impossible to detect the taste, because they all have the same taste, so then the forbidden item will be nullified when it's outweighed by a majority of the permitted item to its minority. Halacha Beis, Ketzad, that I'm going to now illustrate, Chilev HaKloyos, Shenafal L'toch HaGrisin, V'nimuach HaKol. If the fat, which is forbidden on the kidneys of an animal, falls into a bowl of beans and dissolves amongst them. Tominus agrees. So then we taste those beans. Imlo nimsobahen tam chelev, if they do not have the taste of that forbidden fat, harilu mutarin, so then the beans are permitted to eat. Vim nimsobahem tam chelev, if, however, there is the taste of forbidden fat within them, vayben mamash, and moreover, there's also physical substance of that forbidden fat, harilu asur mina Torah, then they are forbidden on a Torah level. Nimsopahen tamo, velohayopahen mamasho. If, however, there was only the detectable taste of forbidden fats, but there was no longer any substance of that forbidden fat, harila suur midibri sofrim, then these beans are only forbidden on a rabbinic level. Halacha gimel, keizan hu mamasho, I'm going to now illustrate, what does it mean when we talk about it still having physical substance? This means that there was enough of the forbidden fat that there would be an olive-sized portion of that forbidden fat per every 3 egg-sized portion of the overall mixture. Im acham en agrisin ha'ilu kishalosh beitzim, if one then consumes 3 egg-sized portions of these beans, ho'al v'yesh ben k'zayis min achelev, since in such a scenario they were to contain an olive-sized portion of that forbidden fat, loke, then one would receive lashes for that consumption. Sh'rei tam ha'iser mamash okayim, because in that circumstance, both the taste as well as the physical substance of the forbidden item are still extant. Aval pachos mishalosh beitzim, however, if one consumed less than those 3 eggs amount, makaso malchus marjus midrahin, then one will only receive lashes on a rabbinic level. V'chein im lo haya b'tarovus kezayis b'chol shalosh beitzim, similarly, if in the mixture there was not an olive-sized portion of that forbidden fat per every 3 egg-sized portion of the beans, aval pishish ben tam chilev, even though there is actually the taste still of that forbidden fat, and one consumed that entire dish, nonetheless, eino loka ela makas marnas, he'll still only receive lashes on a rabbinic level. Halacha dalet. Nafal chilev klayos l'chilev ha'alya v'nimuach hakol. Now switching to a case of min b'mino, where it's one species with the same species, as we'll see, two types of fats mix, one forbidden, the forbidden fats on the kidneys, with one permitted type of fat, the fat of the tail. And the entire mixture has dissolved together. Im haya chilev ha'alya kishnayim b'chilev ha'klayos, hari ha'kol mutter min ha'Torah. If there's two portions of the tail permitted fat to one portion of the kidney forbidden fat, then all of it is permitted on a Torah level. Afilu chatichas nevela shnes arva b'shtei chatichos shel shchuta, ha'kol mutter min ha'Torah. Even if one has two slabs of meat, two cuts of meat, of forbidden meat, of nevela, mixed with one slab of meat, one cut of meat of a properly slaughtered animal, nonetheless, all of them are permitted on a Torah level. Av medivrei sofrim hakol aser. However, on a rabbinic level, all of them are forbidden. Ad she'abed davar haaser me'otzem mi'uto, lo yedavar chashuv she'eino omedes k'mo she'isbar. To the point where the forbidden item is so nullified because of some tiny ratio that remains, to the point where it's not considered extant at all, as the Rama will explain. Now, what does that mean, that it should be so tiny in the ratio to the point where it's considered totally no longer extant? The Rambam explains, Kashir shenanu bo chacham, the amount that Chazal had specified, yesh davar shishiur b'shishim, v'yesh shishiur b'meya, v'yesh shishiur b'masai. Ultimately, it depends on what type of item we are dealing with. There are those that Chazal had set at needing to have 60 times its amount. There are others that Chazal set at having 100 times its amount. And there are still others that need something 200 times its amount. Halacha Vav. Nimzas Lamed. Shekol Isurin Shabbatorah. Bein Isurei Malkus. Bein Isurei Karis. Bein Isurei Hana. Shenis Arva B'machal HaMutter. Min B'she'eno Mino B'no Zein Tam. Min B'mino She'ef Shalamun Al Tam. Shiro B'shishim Obameya Obamasayim. Chutz Miyayin Nesach M'nei Chumras Vodazara. V'chutz Mitevel Shrei Efshar L'takna. M'nei Zeh Osher B'minon B'chol Shehin. V'shelo B'minon B'no Zein Tam Kishar Kol Isurin. The Rambam now summarizes, what emerges is that, with regards to all items that are forbidden to consume in the Torah, whether something which is forbidden on a level where one will receive lashes, or excision, or whether something is forbidden to benefit from, even, in these circumstances, if they mix with some food item which is permitted, if it's one type with another type, so then, to determine whether it's forbidden to consume, that will depend whether or not there is taste of the forbidden item still present. If it's mixed with its own type, to the point where we can't, therefore, determine whether the taste is detectable, so then it will either be nullified with 60 times its amount, 100 times its amount, or 200 times its amount. However, two exceptions the Rambam lists. Wine, which has been libated for idolatry, because of the stringent nature of idolatry, as well as the other exception, tevel, untithed produce, which ultimately can be fixed still, all you have to do is tithe it, and therefore, Chazal forbade one from having it be nullified in any amount, since it can be rectified. These two, any bit of their presence is enough to make the entire mixture be forbidden, and that's when they are mixed with their own species. When it's mixed with a different species, so then they too play by the same rules as any other mixture, that if their taste is detectable, then they are a problem, if not, not. Halacha Zay, Ketzad, the Rambam now illustrate this further. Tibas Yayin Nesach Shenaflu Alav Kama Chavil Shel Yayin Hakol Asar Kamo Shisbar. If a single droplet of libated wine has many barrels of wine fall upon it, of normal wine, all of it becomes forbidden, as the Rambam will explain. V'chein Kol Shel Yayin Tevel Shenis Arei B'chavis Hakol Tevel Ach Yafresh Trumos Maestros Or Uyin Latarobis Kamo Shisbar B'mkama. Similarly, with regards to a single cup of wine which has been untithed, that gets mixed with a barrel filled with regular wine, nonetheless, all of it is considered tevel and is forbidden to consume until one takes off the proper trumos and maestros for the entire mixture, as Rambam will explain in the appropriate place. Halacha Ches. Peros Shvias, afal pi she'imnis arba b'minon b'chol shehu, v'shelo b'minon b'no zein tam, eina b'chal isurei Torah, she'ein osa atarovis asura, with regards to the produce of the seventh year in the land of Israel, in the Shemitah year, those produce, though if they get mixed with their own species, they also will not be nullified. Even a tiny amount will make the entire mixture be like them. And if they're mixed with a different species, they also play by the rules of whether there's a detectable taste. The Rambam is not going to include these in this conversation because they aren't actually forbidden to consume. The entire mixture doesn't become forbidden. Rather, it all just gains that identity. They all must abide by the stringencies of the unique sanctity of the produce of the Yer Shemitah, as the Rambam will explain elsewhere in Mishnah Torah. Halacha Tes. Chametz Pesach, Av Pi Shumei Yisurei Torah, Enam Chalos Elu. In addition, there's another exception. Having Chametz on Pesach, even though it too is amongst the forbidden food items of the Torah, nonetheless, it won't play by these same rules. Because this mixture isn't forbidden forever, because after the holiday of Pesach, then the entire mixture will be permitted, as the Rambam has explained. Accordingly, it can make something be forbidden, whether it's mixed with its own species or a different species, even with a tiny amount. Halacha Yud. V'hu din l'tefuah chadasha shenis arva bishana l'tnei ha'omer oseres b'chol shehu. Similarly, regarding the new grain, chadash, as we colloquially refer to it, that gets mixed with old grain before the bringing of the carbon omer, it too makes the mixture forbidden, even with a tiny amount. Shari yesh l'matirin. This too has something which ultimately will permit it. Shel achar omer yutar akol. Since once the carbon omer is brought, all of it will be made permitted. V'chein kol davar sheish l'matirin, v'afilu haya isur medivrein, kigon isur muktzah v'nolad v'yom tov, lo ninu bo chacham shir, el afilu echad v'kama alafim eino batal. could go in hektish u'maizer sheni u'kiyot tebehet. Similarly, anything which ultimately can have permissibility to it, even if its prohibition was only rabbinic in nature, such as muktzah and nolad, different types of rabbinic enactments which relate to Yom Tov, those Chazal did not give any amount to, even a tiny drop in many, many thousands, will not be nullified, because ultimately there's a way to have it in a permissible fashion, just as we find with regards to sanctified items and Maaser Sheni and the like. Halacha Yud Aleph. Aval ha'arla v'klai ha'ker b'chelev v'dam u'kiyot v'hen v'chein trumos nanucham v'hem shir she'ein v'hen derech heter l'chol adam. However, regarding arla, klai ha'kerem, chelev, dam, and the like, as well as trumos, those Chazal did give a set amount to, because these ones do not have a permitted way through which all people can consume them. Halacha Yud Beis. Yira li sha'afilu davar sheish lo matirin imnis ari b'sheino mino v'lonos antam mutter. The Rambam now notes, though, that it appears to him that even something which ultimately can be made permissible, if it gets mixed with something which is not its type and it does not impart taste, so then it is permitted. Lo yezeh sheish lo matirin chomer mitevel, because this, which has some way of being made permissible, should be no more stringent than tevel, shari efshar l'takno, which ultimately is able to be fixed, v'afal pikein shelo b'mino b'nosei tam, kumo shibaranu. And nonetheless, tevel, as the Rambam has already explained, if it gets mixed with something which is not its type, is still only going to be a problem once it imparts taste. V'al tzitma al chametz pesach, and one should not be astounded by that which we find breaking this rule regarding chametz on Pesach, sh'atorah amra, because the Torah itself said, kol machmetzas lo sochelu, you should not consume anything which has this leaven to it. Lafikach chamir bo kmo shibarnu. Accordingly, Chazal were very stringent regarding it, as the Rambam has already explained. Halacha Yud Gimel. Ve'elu hein ashiurim sh'ninu chacham. Now these are the amounts that Chazal set with regards to what ratios will be needed to nullify a forbidden substance. Hatruma utrumas meiser, v'chala v'bikurim. These four substances, olin be'echad umeya, v'tzarech harim mitzarfen zeim zeh. They require 100 times the original amount, thus the total mixture to be 101 times the original thing which was mixed in order to make them be permitted. And these are able to join together one with the other. V'chein prusa shel lechem hapanim, l'toch prusa shel chulin, olin be'echad umeya. Similarly, a piece of the showbread that was on display in the base of Mikdash, mixed with other pieces of bread which are mundane, those two require a total mixture of 101. Ketzad, there I'm now illustrate. Sa kemach me'echad me'elu, o sa mikulam, shenafla lemea, sa kemach shachulin, and it's arev hakol. Me'er min hakol, sa achas, keneget sa shenafla, v'ashar mutter l'chol adam. Nafla lepachos mimea, na'ase hakol meduma. There I'm now explains. If a single sa of flour from one of the above-mentioned substances, or one sa from all of them together, which combined to form one sa, falls into 100 sa of regular mundane flour, and thus they are all mixed. So what should one do? One separate one sa from the mixture for the sa that originally had fallen in, and then the remainder is able to be permitted to all people, because it has been nullified. If, however, it fell into something less than 100 sa, so then there's no such easy fix, the entire thing is considered a mixed and thus potentially forbidden substance, depending on who it is. If it was truma, a kohen's allowed to eat it. But for a regular Israel, he cannot. It's considered a forbidden mixture. Halacha Yud Dalet. Ha'arla b'klai ha'kerem, olin b'echad u'masayim, mitzarfen zeim zeh, v'einu tzarech lahar. With regards to these two substances, arla and klai ha'kerem, they require 201 times the original amount. These two are also able to combine together, and they do not need somebody to remove a part of it, as we saw in the previous case, in order to permit it. Ketzad, the Rambam will illustrate. Revias shel yayin arla, o klai ha'kerem, o shayzer revias mitzarf es mishnehem, shenafla l'toch masayim revios shel yayin, hakol mutter, ve'enot tzarech laharim klum. If one has a revias worth of arla wine, or klai ha'kerem wine, or a mixture of the two of them that combined to revias, that fell into 200 reviot of wine, in that case, it is all permitted. You don't need to remove any of it. However, nafla pachos mimasayim, it fell into something that was less than 200 its amount, hakol aser b'hana, so then all of it is forbidden to benefit from. Halacha tesvav, What is the difference between the two previous halachos? The Rambam now clarifies, why does one need to separate from the truma mixture, but not from the orla and the gilai akara mixture? He explains, shatruma mamon kohanim, because ultimately truma is something which belongs to the kohanim. Lefikach, kol truma she'ena kohanim akbirin aleha, kegon trumas haklisin, vacharubin, usorin, shem edom, eno tzarech lara. Accordingly, anything which the kohanim do not particularly care about, such as truma from low-quality figs or carobs or a certain type of barley that came from Edom, so then there one does not need to remove from such mixtures. Halacha Tes Zayin. V'lama kaflu shir arla v'kilai akara. Now, for what reason is there double the requisite amount to nullify arla v'kilai akara than what we see earlier by truma and the like? V'nei she'in asurim b'hanna. The Rambam explains because these are forbidden to benefit from. V'lama samchu al shir mea v'trumos. Now, why did Chazal rely on the number 100 regarding trumos? Shari trumas meiser echon mea. Mekadesh hakol, shenemar, ethmik tishom menu, amrucham, davar sh'atamer menu, im chazor letocho, mekacho. Because we find by trumas meiser, which is in total 1/100th of the entire crop that a person has, and yet it causes, by it not being tithed, the entire crop to be considered sanctified. As the Torah says, it's sanctified part, you take from it. And thus, Chazal learned from there that this would be a good basis, something which needs to be separated in order to make sure that you remove that sanctity, so too, when it goes back in, it will re-sanctify the entire mixture. Lach Yud Zayin. Shari Surin Shabbatorah, Kulan Kigon Basar Shkatzim, Ramashim, Vachelev, Vedam, Ukiyoti Behen, Shiur Meshishim. With regard to all other prohibitions of the Torah, such as the flesh of various creepy crawly creatures, or Chelev, or blood, or the like, these all have an amount of sigdi required in order to nullify them. Ketzat, the Rambam now illustrates, Kizayis chilev kloyos shenafal letoch shishim kizayis mechilev alya hakomater. If an olive-sized portion of the forbidden fats from the kidneys falls into 60 times that amount, 60 olive-sized portions of the permitted tail fat, so then that is all permitted. Nafal pachos meshishim, however, if it fell into less than 60 olive-sized opposite its amount portions of this permitted fat, so then all of it is forbidden. And so too, it was only a barley-sized portion of the forbidden fat, so then it needs to have 60 barley-sized portions opposite it. And so too with any other prohibition. And so too with the fat of the gid hanasha, the forbidden sciatic nerve, that falls into a pot of meat. There, too, we evaluate it based off of 60. However, the fat of the Gid HaNasha itself is not part of that count. Even though this prohibition is only rabbinic in nature, as the Rambam has already explained, since this Gid HaNasha counts as its own standalone entity, its own unique item, so then they were stringent regarding it as they were regarding regular biblically prohibited foods. V'agid atzmo emisharin bo ve'in oser she'ein bagid b'no seinta. Now, with regard to the actual gid hanash itself, not the fats of it, so there we don't measure off of it, and it does not make something prohibited because the actual gid hanash itself does not give off any taste. Halach Yud Ches. Avukchal shenispash l'mabasar v'shishim ukchal minaminin. However, with regards to an udder, which is also only rabbinically forbidden, which was cooked with meat, in that circumstance, we require there to be 60 times its amount in order to nullify it, but there, the udder can help work towards that total sum. This, unlike the Shuman Shelkid, since it's rabbinic, they were lenient with regards to its amount. Halach Yud Tes. Beitah shenimsa ba'efroach shenishlika im beitim hamutaros, Im haisa im shishim ba'achas vihi harei hein mutaros. Haisa im shishim bovad nesru hakol v'nei shihi briya b'fnei atzma asu heker ba v'osivu b'shiura. With regards to an egg which was unfortunately discovered to have a chick within it that was cooked together with eggs that are regular eggs, so if there were 61 eggs plus this egg, so 62 in total, so in that case they will be permitted. even though they've been cooked together, the other 61 are permitted. If, however, there were only 60 regular eggs, aside from this 61st forbidden egg, then all of that mixture are going to be forbidden, since in this case, this not slaughtered chick is its own standalone entity, Bria b'fnei Atzma. There too, Chazal made a distinction to make it more stringent, and they added to its required amount. Lachaf, al beitas of tame shenishlika im beitei of tahar lo asreosa. However, regarding the egg of a non-kosher species of bird that was cooked together with the eggs of regular kosher species of bird, in that case, then it does not forbid that mixture. Vim tarf elum elu, oshenis arva beitas of tame o beitas trefa im beitim acheros shura mishisha. If the eggs were opened, though, and had been mixed together, or the egg of a non-kosher species of bird, or the egg of a bird that was a trefa, had become mixed with other eggs, not cooked, just mixed, in that circumstance as well, then the required amount is 60 times. Halacha chaf aleph. Uminayim samku chacham al shir shishim. Now, where did Chazal derive the number 60 from? Shari amura me'el nazir v'yazroa echan mishishim mishar ha'ayel v'hi misbashelas imo. Chazal found this number, the Rambam teaches us, from the portion which is given to the Kohen from a ram which is brought by a Nazir in his process of completing being a Nazir. That particular leg, that foreleg, is 1/60th of the rest of the ram. And if it's cooked together with the rest of the ram, it does not cause it to become forbidden. As the Pasuk says, the Kohen will take the cooked foreleg from the ram, and therefore we see that the other 60 portions are not made forbidden from having been cooked with this, what would be forbidden to a Yisrael, foreleg. Halacha chaf beis. Min b'mino b'davar achar shenis arbu, k'kon k'deira shayu b'chelev alya u'grisin, v'nafal l'toch ha'chelev ha'kloyos, v'nimcha ha'kol, v'nasa guf echad. Ron es chelev ha'alya v'esa grisin ki'ilu hein guf echad. If you have one item which is of the same species as the forbidden item, and one item which is from a different species that have been mixed together, for example, if you have some fat from the tail, which again is permitted, along with beans that are in one dish, and then some of the forbidden fat from kidneys falls into them, and it all gets dissolved together, it all becomes one dish. In that circumstance, when trying to evaluate what is the ratio, we look at the entire mixture opposite the forbidden fat, i.e. the mixture of the tail fat, which is permitted, and the beans as one single entity. And if those are 60 to the one entity of the kidney fat, which is forbidden, then it is going to be permitted. In this circumstance, we can't just rely on taste, because once there are two of the same species here, one permitted, one forbidden, then taste must be discounted. Halacha chav gimel. V'hu ha'din l'trumot shnis arvu l'sh'aron b'meya. V'klei ha'kerem o'orla l'sh'arosan b'messiah. The same principle as we just saw in the previous halacha applies as well to trumos that got mixed to evaluate them off of their ratio of 100, and so too with klei ha'kerem o'orla with their ratio of 200. Halacha chav dalet. Now, the Rambam makes a very important statement regarding all of these different calculations. When we are trying to come up with these ratios, we take into account everything. Any of the gravy or the soup or the spices, everything that's inside the pot itself, and what the pot is assumed to have absorbed after the item which is forbidden had fallen into the pot, based off of our best estimation, because obviously it's impossible to know exactly what amount the pot had absorbed. Halacha chav hei. Asur levatal isurin shel Torah l'chatchila. It is forbidden to ideally nullify a substance which is forbidden on a Torah level. V'im bitel, hari zeh mutter. However, if one did nullify it, then it is permitted, at least on a Torah level. V'aval pikein kansu aso chamim v'asru hakol. Nonetheless, Chazal penalized such an individual and made the entire mixture forbidden. However, the Rambam now notes that it appears to him that since this is only a penalty, then they did not forbid this mixture other than to the one who had actually transgressed by nullifying this. However, regarding others, the mixture is still permitted. Halachavav, Ketzad, the Rambam now illustrate, Harishinachlasa shel Orla l'toch me'asa, sharei neser akol. If one unit of Orla fell into 100 units of non-Orla produce, to the point where now the entire mixture is forbidden, lo yavi me'asa acheros vitzariv k'desh tala ve'achad basayim. A person is not supposed to now bring another 100 units of permitted substance and mix them all together, so that way the overall mixture will be permitted. Vim avar v'asakein hakol mutter. If one transgressed and did so nonetheless, then technically it is all permitted. Al v'isr shel devrayim v'vadlin ha'isr l'chachila. In contrast to something which is biblically forbidden, the Rambam now notes that if something is only rabbinically forbidden, then it is something which we are allowed to ideally go and nullify. Halacha chav zayin. Ketzad, the Rambam now illustrate this latter principle. Chalav shenafa l'gdera sheyesh ba basar ov. V'nasam tam b'gdera. Marba ala basar ov acher, anchi batal atam. V'chein kok yotzev zeh. If milk had fallen into a pot which contained bird meat within it, and it imparts taste into that dish, in that circumstance, one can go and add more and more bird meat to it until the taste is no longer noticeable. And so too with any similar situation. The Rambam has already explained that if something which is forbidden imparts its taste, where its taste is still discernible, into something which is permitted, so then the entire thing becomes forbidden. However, the Rambam now clarifies that this is only true when it adds a positive taste. If, however, this forbidden substance has ruined the taste of the permitted substance, it has gotten rid of its taste, in that circumstance, it is still permitted. This is assuming that it ruins it from the beginning to the end. However, if it initially makes the taste less good, but afterwards will make it be better, or initially it gives it a bit of a better taste, but in the long run it will ruin the taste, in those circumstances the mixture is forbidden. Now, who should taste the mixture that we are dealing with? If the mixture contains trumos along with regular mundane food, so then a kohen who's allowed to eat truma should be the one to taste it. If the taste of the truma substance is discernible, so then all of it is considered a mixture of truma and mundane food. And later in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam will explain what the laws are regarding meduma produce, this mixture of truma and chulin. Halacha lamed. However, if it's regarding some other substance which is forbidden to consume for any Jewish person, so then we have a non-Jew taste it and we rely on him. If the non-Jew tells us that it doesn't have any discernible taste, or it does have taste, but it's a bad taste, then in that circumstance, it's permitted. This is assuming it's not the type of bad taste which, in the long run, will make it taste better. If there's no non-Jew to taste it, then we evaluate based off the ratios outlined above, either opposite 60 or 100 or 200, depending on what the prohibition is. If a rat falls into beer or into vinegar, so then we evaluate it opposite 60. Because we are concerned that perhaps when it falls into these substances, it will improve the taste. But if it were to fall into wine or oil or honey, in that circumstance, it's permitted, because even if it imparted taste, we think that it is going to add a bad taste. Because these things must have a nice fragrance to them, and the rat meat is going to spoil that fragrance and take away from their flavor. If a goat had been roasted along with its forbidden fat, so then it's forbidden to even eat from the end of its ear. Because forbidden fats will be absorbed throughout all the limbs of the body, and it improves the taste. If If, however, it was a very thin, a lean goat, to the point where the amount of fat on its kidneys and its various digestive organs, which are the ones that are forbidden fat, is less than opposite 60 of the rest of its fat, so then you can just cut away from the meat and eat it until you actually reach the fat. Similarly, if one had cooked the thigh of an animal, which still contained the ginanasha, along with the ginanasha, so then you can cut away from the meat and eat that until you reach the actual ginanasha. And so too, an animal that you had roasted whole, complete, and you hadn't removed the various forbidden strands of tissue and membranes, which you are not allowed to eat. So then again, you can cut away from the meat and eat the meat and leave it at that. And once you reach the item which is forbidden, so then you just cut that out and throw it away, because these types of tissues are not going to impart taste. Halacha Lamed Gimel. Ein solin basar shchuta im basar nevela o behema tmeya betan or echad. Vavapi she'ein nogin ze bazeh. One is not supposed to roast the meat of a properly slaughtered animal with the meat of one which is not properly slaughtered, or a non-kosher species of animal, in one oven, even though the two aren't touching. V'mtzalon harei ze mutter. If one did roast them, though, ultimately they are still permitted. V'afilu haisa asura shmeina harbe v'amuteres raza shareach eino oser. V'eino oser elatamo shalisr. This is even true if the permitted substance is very, very lean, and the forbidden substance is very, very fatty. Nonetheless, the imparted smell, that aspect of reach, is not something which can forbid the substance. Only taste actually does that. Halacha Lamed Dalet, the final halacha in the parak. Basar nevela maliach shnivlal imo basar shchuta hari zeh nasar. If the meat of something which was properly slaughtered was mixed together with the meat of something which was not properly slaughtered, that had been salted, the meat of the kosher substance becomes forbidden. Mneisha tamsas nevela nivlas beguf basar shchuta. Because in that circumstance, the concentrated juice of the nevela animal are going to be absorbed into the kosher animal. And in this circumstance, it's impossible to tell the difference between their flavor or to try to calculate what the ratio might be. And similarly, a salted, non-kosher species of fish that was mixed together along with an unsalted kosher species of fish, in that circumstance it becomes forbidden as well because of its brine. Aval im haya maliach tohar v'tafel dug tamei lo nesar hamaliach af pisha tafel bolea min hamaliach eino bolea kokach shiachzor v'yiflot. However, if the salted one were the kosher species and the unsalted one were the non-kosher species, in that case the kosher salted species does not become forbidden, even though it's bound to absorb as well, because ultimately it doesn't absorb as much to the point where it will then go and expel. Dug tame shekvasho im dug tahar hakol aser elam kein haya tame echem v'sai metar. With regards to a non-kosher fish that was pickled with a kosher species of fish, so in that circumstance, the entire mixture of this pickling is going to be forbidden unless the ratio of the kosher fish to the non-kosher fish was 200 to 1. Have a wonderful day.